10, as we've been studying concerning our Lord, His coming, His incarnation, His purpose in His coming, and the fact of covenant of redemption between the Father and the Son, the purpose of the Son coming to this earth, His living for us, His dying for us, His rising for us, all of these things concerning our Lord and His purpose. The question I have for you this morning, is He Lord? Is Jesus Lord? We hear the modern gospel invitation today. You can turn on the radio or any of the TV preachers that you want to listen to, and you hear the gospel presentation with things such as accept Jesus as personal Savior, ask Jesus into your heart, invite Jesus into your life, make a decision for Christ, give Him your heart. We hear all of these invitations today. And as often as we hear such phrases, please understand that none of these invitations are biblical invitations. We don't see those things written in the Scripture. These are products, sadly, of a diluted gospel, a gospel that has been watered down. The gospel Jesus proclaims is a call to discipleship. It is a call to follow Him as Lord, to obey Him. And that obedience and that discipleship is a submissive obedience, not just a plea to make a decision for Him or a plea to pray a prayer, but rather Jesus' message is a message that liberated men from the bondage of sin, while at the same time it confronted and condemned the hypocrisy of religiosity. His gospel put sinners on notice that they must turn from sin and embrace God's righteousness. And in chapter 10 here of Matthew, our Lord warns that this life, this obedience to Him, is something that is going to cost us. That eternal life that comes from Him is not to be taken lightly. Rather, there's a cost with that, and that cost can be high for the child of God. So high, in fact, He says that the way of it is narrow and few would find it. Notice what He says here in chapter 10, verse 16. He says, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, they will scourge you in their synagogues, and ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles." Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer before we continue on in our study this morning. Our Father in heaven, we thank you again for this day. We thank you, Father, for your great grace. We thank you for another day that we can come into your house together. We pray that you bless each soul that has come this way today. Bless the many, Father, that are away from us this morning. A lot of sickness that's going around. We pray you give healing for each of those. We pray especially this morning for Brother Frank. Lord, we pray that you be with him, to strengthen his heart even this day, that you'd help him in this time, that you might give him healing, that he would, as quickly as possible, be back with us again. We miss him. We miss Sister Anita being here. They're such an important part of our body. We love them and desire to see their presence. And so we pray, Father, that you'd give him health even now and strengthen him, give him rest as he's been depraved, or deprived, I should say, of that for quite some time. Father, we pray that you would just watch over us today as we've met together. We pray that you would open your word before us this day and help us in this hour to worship you, to glorify your name, to lift up our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. That you'd help us, Father, to examine ourselves, that we would determine in us that whether or not we are indeed obedient servants to the Lord Jesus Christ. Forgive us of our sins and our shortcomings, and how often, Father, we come short of your glory. Help us to honor you this day. Help us to lift up your name. For we ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Now he tells us here in Matthew 10, again there in verse 16, that he's sending us as sheep, his children, in the midst of wolves. And so he says, as we go out, we need to be wise as serpents, harmless as doves, recognizing where we are at in this world, recognizing that following after the Lord and following in that submissive obedience to his will and to his direction to give our lives to him would lead us into places where it is going to be difficult for us at times, because this world stands against the Lord. And so if it's standing against the Lord, it's going to stand against his servants that are following after him. And so he says, be wise as serpents, and harmless as doves. And he says, and he reminds us again, there, verse 17, but beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils. They will scourge you in their synagogues. You shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. They're going to be bringing God's people up. They're going to be charging them with these things, with these false charges, bringing false punishments against them. And how many of our brethren throughout the years that have suffered at the hands of evil men's governments, evil religions of this world, how many of God's people have given themselves for that and have been killed in their service to the Lord, and yet the Lord says this is going to happen, and it will be a testimony against them. It's going to be used as their judgment against them. There's not any of it that escapes the reality of our Lord. There's nothing that escapes out of his hands. He sees it all. He knows it all. He's allowed all that takes place that he might be glorified, that his purpose would be worked in this earth, and not one thing, not one evil that's brought against his children by these things of the world has escaped the Lord's eye. He will bring judgment on all of it. But nevertheless, God's people still have to go through those things at times. We see there in verse 21, and the brother shall deliver up the brother to death. The father, the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Verse 33, but whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. A great cost, our Lord is saying, comes with following him. And that's the good news, you see. That's the gospel. That's what we're being called to by the Spirit of God, that we can have freedom from sin, we can have freedom from this world, we can have eternal life in Christ Jesus, and yet in having those things, there is the reality, the cost of being aliens to this world from that point forward. And that cost can be severe. In fact, again, he taught that its cost can be so high that the way of it is narrow, and few would find that way, he says, over in Matthew 7, verse number 13. He says, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." Many, he says. Many will go into that way. "Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find that," or find it. "Beware false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." Present day evangelism, by and large, ignores these warnings. And their view of what constitutes faith grows broader and more shallow. Just about anything's accepted. As long as you say it's Jesus, then you're okay. And then as long as you somewhat will agree, yeah, he died on the cross. That's about good enough for most folks. And so it's a very broad definition, a very shallow definition of what being a Christian is. While the very person of Christ is manipulated and portrayed as a helpless God that has no power to save to the uttermost without the help of the sinner. "Oh, Jesus has done all this for you. Oh, look what he's accomplished. Look what he's done. Now all you have to do is say this prayer, invite him into your heart, believe on him today. He's waiting on you to do it. He's done everything he can do. Now it's up to you to do the rest." That's the way he's portrayed today. My friends, my Lord is not helpless. My Lord is not helpless. He has given himself for his people, for his elect, and he will save every last one of them. He'll not miss one. He knows the number of them, and he will get every last one. He'll leave the fold to go get that one that's missing. He will not lose one that he's given himself for. My Lord is not a helpless God that needs the help of sinners. My Lord is the all-powerful God that will complete the work that he has set forth to do. He will not miss any of his elect. He will save every last one of them. And so we see the reality of who our Lord is and what modern evangelism preaches today are two different things. Now, anyone who calls themselves a Christian in our world is accepted as genuine, no matter how sinful their lifestyle may be. Modern gospel preaching is teaching a justification without a sanctification. They teach obedience is a work and cannot be attached to grace. At the same time, they are preaching for the sinner to make a decision. The reality is both justification and sanctification are works of grace. They're both by our Lord. They're both worked by Him. The modern idea has produced a system that encourages, again, a shallow faith and lives that are void of spiritual truth. In Matthew chapter 7, our Lord warns of this in verse 21 down through verse 23. And we've read this verse many times. You know this verse. Brother Mark read these verses this morning in his study. These are, to me, the saddest verses in all of the Scripture. Because you have these people that are calling themselves Christians. They're being called Christians by the world around them. They're being identified as Christians because of the things that are coming out of their mouths and the things that they are doing. But he says here in verse 21, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works. Lord, look what we've done for you. Look at all this work that we've performed. Look at how many people we've taught of your name. Look at all these things that we've accomplished for your kingdom. Look, Lord, what we've done." Salvation, eternal life, can never be about what we've done. It can only be about what Christ has done. It is He that gets the glory. It's not me. It's not you. We don't deserve any glory. It shouldn't be, "Lord, look what you've done. Look what you've worked, Lord." Even the very things that we do for Him. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 10 says, "Those are works that we are ordained to do for Him." He works in us. He's the one that gives us that strength. He's the one that gives us that ability. He's the one that gives us those opportunities to do it. It's by Him that these things are accomplished. It is always by our Lord. We see here, they point to the works that they have accomplished. "Have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works." Notice the things they were doing here. These were miraculous things that they were accomplishing, but it wasn't by the power of God. That's something we need to take note of. Just because it looks miraculous, just because it looks amazing, just because it looks supernatural does not mean it is of God. It's the reason He says, "Try the spirits." Why? Because there's more than one spirit out there. There's more than one spirit. That which comes by the Holy Spirit will be that which agrees with the Word of God. It will go hand in hand with what the Scriptures declare. That's what He Himself has declared. He's not going to do anything contrary to this book. And so if it's by the Spirit of God, if it is a miraculous work, works of miracles being performed, it will be done in accordance to this. And it will always be to the glory of Christ. Always be lifting Him up. If it's not done according to this, if it in any way takes the glory from Christ, or if it in any way is contrary to what the Word of God says, then it is not the Spirit of God doing it. And so He says, try the spirits. Check them. How do we try them? We look right here. Well, wait a minute. Does the Bible say that God's going to do that? Wait a minute. Is that what He says He's going to do? Try them, He says. Try them. Because these folks that we read of right here, these folks were doing these miraculous works, but they're not from the Spirit of God. The Lord tells them there in verse 23, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. These things that they were doing, they thought they were doing them for the kingdom of God. They were miraculous works. And everybody looking from the outside says, boy, that's good stuff they're doing there. Boy, look at that. Ain't that pretty? Ain't that right? Ain't that good? Jesus says, no. That's works of iniquity. Why is it works of iniquity? Not necessarily in what they were doing. It's works of iniquity because of who they are. It's because they don't belong to Him. Our works, Isaiah 64 and verse number 6 says, our works are as filthy rags before God. Our righteousnesses, He uses that word there in Isaiah 64, 6. What we think is good, what we think is right, what we think is best, He says is filthy righteousness, or filthy rags before Him. What we would consider righteousness is, in fact, unrighteousness without Christ. And so He says, then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. That is the reason that no part of your salvation, no part of your life in Christ can ever point back to you. It must always point to Him. He has to be the one in view. He has to be the one glorified. He has to be the one honored. He has to be the one lifted up. It's not in what I've done. It's not in what you've done. It's what Christ has done for us. He is the one that we must point to. No amount of works can be considered proof of eternal life apart from obedience to the Lord Jesus. The Lord doesn't say here, this is the fringe, by the way. He didn't say this is just a few that's off to the side. But He says this was actually the many. Many will say to me in that day. The many. But if the many, if not most today, have been conditioned to believe because they said a prayer or they signed a card or walked down an aisle or had some other experience, that they're saved. And should never question, from that point, should never question their salvation. Well, I said that prayer, so I'm okay. I joined the church, so I'm okay. I was baptized, so I'm okay. And they're resting their hope in what they've done instead of the one who gave salvation to them. We are all, no matter what our experience is, no matter what we went through, no matter how the gospel was brought to us, we are all required to examine our faith to determine, am I indeed a child of God? Paul says again there in 2 Corinthians 13, verse number 5, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 10, Peter says in this passage, 2 Peter 1 verse 10, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. Luke chapter 6, verse number 44. Luke 6 and verse 44. The Lord says, for every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of bramble bush gather they grapes. What fruit are you producing? What evidence is seen in your life of your obedience to Christ? That is the determiner of whether or not you are indeed a child of God. Am I living a life of obedience to my Lord? The Bible teaches the proof of God's work in your life is fruit produced by the Spirit of God. 1 John chapter 3, verse number 10. John writes this, 1 John 3, verse 10. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Faith that does not have fruit, James says in James chapter 2, it is a dead faith. A dead faith. James chapter 2, verse 14. Down through verse 17, he says, what doth it profit, my brethren? Though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked or destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. James says the proof is in what faith produces in us. Is it a fruitful faith? Is it a faith that produces works in us? Salvation is the work of God through which we are conformed to the image of Christ. Paul says that in Romans chapter 8, verse number 29. And genuine assurance comes from seeing the Holy Spirit's transforming work in one's life as He produces that fruit of obedience in us. As we see Him working, as we see Him teaching, as we see Him directing in our lives, as we see that fruit being produced on our vines, that's when we can recognize, that's when we can know, that's where we have that assurance given to us that, yes, I am a child of God. Look what God's working in me. Jesus pronounced condemnation on those who worshiped Him with their lips only. Matthew chapter 15, verse number 7. Matthew chapter 15, verse number 7, down through verse number 9 there. He says, "Ye hypocrites, well did Esaias prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their lips," or with their mouth, "and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." It's not about what we say. It's not about what is necessarily on our lips. Now, good things should be on our lips. Christ Jesus should come out of our mouth. That should be what we talk about. But it cannot be just on our lips. It's got to be the reality of our lives. It's got to be the purpose of our very existence, that we are honoring Christ Jesus, that we are following after Him, that we are being to Him an obedient people, doing what He has called us to do, following and serving Him as He has commanded us to follow and serve. A.W. Tozer said it like this. He said, "The Lord will not save those whom He cannot command. He will not divide His offices. You cannot believe on a half Christ. We take Him for what He is, the anointed Savior and Lord, who is King of kings and Lord of all lords. He would not be who He is if He saved us and called us and chose us without the understanding that He can also guide and control our lives. He did not save us and leave us alone. He saved us to be His people. He saved us to serve Him. And that salvation brings us into that relationship with Him as servants, as children, to be obedient to Him, to follow after our Lord. What is the proof in your life today that Jesus is Lord? What fruit is seen in you that Jesus is your Lord? Repent and run to Christ Jesus. Let's all stand. Brother Jonathan, would you bring us a song?